Welcome to Juno's Very Own Juno Afternoon on KTOO. I'm Joan Pardis. I'll be your host today. Scott Burden is at the board, and we've got a great lineup. We're going to be talking and eating with Chef Steph. We'll be talking with Gustavus writer Abigail Calkin, who's here to talk about her new book, The Soul of My Soldier. Then we'll learn about this Saturday's recovery walk, and it's Arts Up. It's Thursday. Enjoy that, son. We'll be back in just a few.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Alaska Native culture and issues were highlighted this week with President Obama's trip to Alaska. He talked about some of his experiences with Alaska Native people during an address Wednesday in Kotzebue.
In Dillingham, just earlier today, I watched Alaska Native fishermen bring in their salmon catch and a tribal elder prepare it in the traditional way. I had a chance to visit a middle school where Alaska Native youth performed a traditional Yupik dance, and I participated. It's on video.
Obama went on to discuss Alaska Native issues and challenges such as job creation, education, and climate change. To address jobs in the Arctic, he says the administration has called for more icebreakers to boost commerce and tourism. Federal initiatives are connecting students in remote areas to high-speed internet. Obama pointed to efforts taking place in Manwaluk, where students and teachers are using new technology. Much of his trip has focused on climate change as he made this announcement.
The Denali Commission will serve as a central coordinator in building what we call climate resilience, helping people adapt. And this is going to cut through bureaucracy and red tape, frees up communities like yours to develop and implement solutions for events like coastal erosion and flooding and permafrost degradation.
The Denali Commission is a federal agency to help Alaska communities with utilities, infrastructure, and economic support. Obama announced more than $17 million in rural water grants for infrastructure projects for remote communities and the launch of a new competition for energy-efficient solutions. The Department of Energy will offer technical assistance and advice for communities to come up with a plan and help make the plan a reality. Obama also touched on other issues, including health care. A tribal group is pushing Minnesota to recognize hunting, fishing, and gathering rights, which members say are guaranteed by treaties on land ceded to the state in the 1800s. The group held an off-reservation ricing event to assert their rights and provoke the state to change its position. Melissa Townsend has the story.
On August 27th and 28th, a group called the 1855 Treaty Authority organized 2 days of off-reservation ricing without state permits at Hole in the Day Lake in Nisswa, Minnesota. That is against state law.
The DNR's position is that off-reservation harvest rights are not recognized in the 1855 area.
Colonel Ken Soaring is Chief Conservation Officer for the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources Enforcement Division.
Normally there'll be citations issued or warnings depending on the circumstances, and then seizure of rice and equipment is also possible.
No one with the 1855 Treaty Authority wanted their equipment seized, but they did want to push the state to change its law. Joe Plummer is an attorney involved with the group.
It's an impetus for the state of Minnesota to just come to the table and just put the defensiveness down. And let's just talk about co-management of the off-reservation area.
That didn't happen. By the end of the second day of the event, 4 people were issued citations, 2 for setting nets to fish and 2 for ricing. Now, this could go nowhere. The county prosecutor could decide not to follow up on the citations. But there are 2 ways for this to head into court. First, county prosecutors could decide that they want to move forward with the charges. And second, the 1855 Treaty Authority could decide to ask for federal intervention, claiming the state DNR is infringing on their treaty rights. We should know more about which way this will go in the next few weeks. But for now, we know that moving the case through the courts will take time and money. And no tribal government has yet officially declared its support of this effort. For National Native News, I'm Melissa Townsend.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. And by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C.
KNBA and Recover Alaska are seeking inspiring stories of recovery from alcohol addiction. If you or someone you know would like to share a story of recovery as part of an upcoming online and on-air documentary video project, go to knba.org and click Tell Your Story.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Hello, welcome to Juneau Afternoon. It's the September 3rd edition, and it is a glorious day in Juneau. It's 6 minutes after the hour, and it is sunny. Highs around 64, light winds becoming northwest 10 miles per hour early in the afternoon. Tonight, increasing clouds. So that means everybody's running out of their office at 4:30 and going, I have to get the last bit of sun. And tomorrow night, cloudy, chance of rain. And through the weekend, it's, you know, that rain word. But right now, it is glorious. It's a beautiful day. I'm Joan Partis. I'll be your host today. Scott Burden is at the board. And our first guest is Chef Steph, and she's here to talk about a new line of products that will be displayed tomorrow at First Friday, which happens downtown at all the shops, mostly all the shops. And so what's the new line, Chef Steph?
Well, hello, and hello, Joan and Scott. Thank you for having me back. The new line is salt. I have had the salted caramel shortbread for some time, and a couple of public markets ago, the Alaska Pure sea salt folks from Sitka were down, and I ran over to them like, oh my God, I love your salt, and here I make this caramel shortbread with your salt, and here you have to have it. And we've become friendly over the years, and at the beginning of this year, I got a call from them saying that they wanted to expand their line with products using their salt, and they loved my stuff and had ideas for other things and was wondering if I was interested, and I was.
And first of all, Stephanie came into the studio bearing gifts, and Scott's the official taster because I'm on the air, and it's caramel, and it's brittle, and it's licorice, but he keeps on asking for more. He says the path to his heart is through the brittle. So anyway, it looks yummy. I've got my little stash in front of me. I'm going to eat it after the show so I can speak. But let's talk about this brittle, and let's talk about this licorice. So this is all made here in Juneau, right?
It is. It's all made here in Juneau, and so the things that they asked me for was salted black licorice. I love black licorice. And I was like, yeah, sure. And then they wanted salted sesame brittle. Yeah, sure. And then I hung up the phone. I was like, oh, my gosh, how am I going to do this? So did a little bit of research and spent about 2 months of weekends working on the licorice recipe. I had gotten a recipe, and it didn't quite work for how I wanted it, and kept tweaking it. And friends and family are really sick of it is now one word, salted black licorice. It's just one word. And they
no hyphens at all.
No, just none. And they run away, but the people who like black licorice run towards me. Oh, any more testing? But testing is done happily, and I love this product so much. I actually love the whole salt line. I'm a big salt fan anyway. But it's nice to have the candy that Scott's opening up so now.
He can't wait. Oh, Scott's happy. Scott is definitely happy. So I heard that there's a lot of rolling involved with licorice.
You know, the licorice, I was trying desperately not to have to hand roll each piece of licorice, but it's soft and not melty, but it's a little different texture than the licorice you know in the bag that we get in the store, and because there's some dairy in it, so it's softer. It's more caramely. So as you can imagine, you can't have, like, sticks of caramel sitting next to each other because it becomes one big blob. So they're hand rolled, and that takes a really long time, and always sore fingers. A batch, I make them in a large batch, and at the end of the day, my thumbs and fingers. There's blisters. It's it is a labor of love, and there's blood, sweat, and tears. And not in it, just near it.
Just the process. So yeah. Tomorrow you're going to be at the Juno Artist Co-op?
The Juno Artist Gallery, yes. I've been a member since last May, and they were kind enough to open up the gallery to culinary artistry. So I'm their first culinary artist. And it's all the packaged food candy that I do, the shortbread and the toffee and the granola. And it's a great venue. Oh, my gosh. There's like 24 artists there, and I love working there because you want to buy everything, and your house just has so much space. So weekly, I get to just have all this beautiful artwork around me, and the artists and the members are fabulous people, and it's such a special group to be a part of that I'm honored and humbled that they have let me in.
With your culinary arts.
With my culinary arts, yes.
So tomorrow it starts around 4, right?
4:30, I believe, 4:30 to 7.
And your new line will be there?
The new line will be there. So it's the salted black licorice, but then there's also salted sesame brittle. And there's only 3 ingredients to that. It's, 4, butter, sugar, sesame seeds, and then salt. And once again, it's the sea salt from Sitka, from the Gulf of Alaska, so it truly is an Alaskan product, and it's delicious, and the salt cuts the sweetness, and the sesame seeds, it becomes a little bit more savory, and I end up eating that all the time, and I'm seeing that Scott is too.
Scott's sitting here nodding. He gave the licorice, the brittle, and the caramel like a 10 stars in an ooh, forget about it face.
Thank you.
So we're getting a little jealous. It's like, oh, can we finish this show so I can eat, please?
I'll talk quickly.
No. We've got more guests. So anyway, so this is tomorrow?
Tomorrow night.
And that the gallery, do you have the address for
it? It's in the Senate building. I don't know the actual number, but it's in the Senate building behind the Bear's Lair. Okay. And it's a great place to be. I will be sampling the licorice that I normally don't do just because it's so difficult to have out. But I will cut them right before the show, and so people could come by and try the licorice and also the sesame brittle, and I will have salted caramel shortbreads for folks to eat. Also, I have to say, and First Fridays is a special time at the gallery, and the artists all make food. They're so generous, and so there's that I'm aware of, there's banana bread being made and carrot cake, and the artists really just do great things, and they showcase, they show off like everybody in Juneau likes to do at potlucks. So we have good digs, at First Friday. The gallery
great.
Members.
Like Chef Steph is not enough to join in your food. My gosh, it's just terrific.
Well, thank you.
So it sounds like quite a homegrown event over there, a real big community of artists. And
yes.
They kind of have ownership of the gallery, which is not kind of. They have ownership of the gallery.
That we do.
And let's talk a little bit. You're always expanding. So, you've got a whole long line of catering as far as your business, as far as catering, and now you have this new line of products, and you have a website, too.
I do. And there is no more catering because of this is taken over. It has happily taken over, and it works with my family life where, if the kids have something going on, I could go back to the kitchen late at night. The website, yes, I everything is available on my website as well. It's www.chefsteffs.com, and there's beautiful photography done by local Marilyn Holmes,
okay,
who did a gorgeous job. I said, okay, I'm always about letting people taste my stuff, because once you taste it, it's fabulous. But it's like, how do you put that across visually? I'm not there to taste. You're on a computer. And Marilyn did such a beautiful job that it is, it's food porn. I was all excited when it came up. I was like, oh, my goodness. Yay.
Oh, I'm going to have to check that out. Because I always get the stuff locally. Because for us, the holidays don't go by without your peppermint bark, which is just insanely delicious.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I always set some aside for you, because I know.
All my visitors over the holidays have now become like their own little junkies of like, you going to come with that stuff? I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
I have my regulars who say that they're not allowed into their children's homes without whatever their particular favorite. It's wonderful.
At the price of admission. How lovely.
It's very flattering.
All righty. Well, we're chatting with Chef Steph, and it's First Friday tomorrow, and Chef Steph will be sporting her new line of products, her salt products, brittle and licorice, and the foundational salted caramel, which is not new but always fantastic, at the Juno Co-op Gallery,
the Juno Artist Gallery.
Sorry, it's a co-op, but it's called the Juno Artist Gallery at First Friday, starting at 4:30. And according to Stephanie, they are going to have fantastic food besides her stuff, which is in itself worth the price of admission, as we say.
Oh, well, thank you.
All righty. Thanks for coming in. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
All right. Thanks, you guys.
The way you cook, the whole production and how you serve it up, the whole seduction of the color and the smell, the presentation, the texture on the tongue. I get impatient, it takes a little more, little more, little more, a little more. I like to watch you serve, I like the motion of your side to side, the locomotion of your up and down. You got me moving through every little lick. I watch you stir a little more, a little more, a little more, a little more, a little more. I like the way you talk. You're in the kitchen stirring up the sauce. You reminisce and you move across the floor. You know I'm watching you read between the lines. You let me watch a little more, a little more, a little more, a little more, a little more. I like the way you cook, the whole production and how you serve it up, the whole seduction, the color and the smell, the presentation, the texture on the tongue. I get impatient, it takes a little more, a little more, a little more. I want some more, a little more, a little more, please more, a little more, a little more, give me more, a little more.
The City and Borough of Juneau Local Emergency Planning Committee is hosting a Community Preparedness Expo on September 11th and 12th at Centennial Hall. Browse a wide variety of information booths, attend presentations throughout the event, and participate in special activities. Have fun while learning how to support those who trust you to take care of them through life's everyday emergencies or a full-scale disaster. Admission is free, and there will be daily drawings for door prizes. Who depends on you? Your preparedness could save their lives. For information or vendor registration, go to juneau.org and look under Hot Topics.
Hello, you're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. It's 19 after the hour on a glorious Juno day. It is 64 degrees on September 3rd. It's a lovely day out there. So our next guest is Abigail Culkin. She lives in Gustavus, and she's here because tomorrow she's having a book signing at Hearthside and Hearthside Books, and it's about her book, The Soul of My Soldier, Reflections of a Military Wife, and this is her 8th book. Welcome to KTOO, Abigail.
Thank you.
Again,
thank you, Joan.
I hear you've been here before.
A long time ago.
Well, welcome back now. Mm-hmm. So Scott's up the board, and I'm the host today, Joan. So let's talk about this book. I read parts of it. I just got it a few days ago, and it's really lovely. I'd like to talk about why you wrote the book and a little bit about the process and maybe hear a little from the book. Is that possible?
Yes, yes. Why I wrote the book? Well, the short answer to that is because I was at the Ketchikan Bay Writers Conference, and Lee Young Lee was the keynote speaker, and his wife, Donna, said, "Tell me about your camel." And I completely misunderstood her question, thinking that I had a camel at our place in Gustavus. And I thought, well, now, wait, what camel is she talking about? What do I have there? And then she said, no, the camel, around your neck, the camel. And so I told her a story from when my husband was in the service and was deployed in the Gulf War. And she looked at me, and it was a story, he brought me the camel back from the Gulf War. It was actually a story that occurred after Vietnam. And she looked at me, and I looked at her, and like she said, "You have a book here," and I realized that. So this is actually the first one. I'm going to do a sequel to it that will be stories from other wives or husbands or people who have served active duty in a war zone, and I've already got about 5 or 6 stories from that. Oh, daughters. I have stories from a couple of daughters. So
that sounds wonderful. So yeah. I have questions about the story you just told. First of all, Abigail's wearing the necklace, the camel necklace, in the studio. It also graces the cover of her book. Mm-hmm. So how long ago was this at Ketchikan Bay?
I think it was 2008. Might have been 2009 or 10.
Okay, so the seed was planted.
It was 2009. Okay. It was June 2009.
All right, so the seed was planted or bloomed, and then it just came out, correct?
Right.
And tell us about what the book contains and your process of...
The book contains stories and poems, short stories. And the process was, I didn't sit down and write the whole thing at one time, as I usually do with a book. It was more the way I write poetry, which is go for a walk and some idea comes to me, and then I jot it down while I'm walking and write it when I get back home, or I'm sitting there and something occurs to me. And so these stories and poems came out across... probably about a 4-year period of time. And actually, some of them I had written when he either was in the Gulf War or when he got back from the Gulf War. And so some of them were much older poems that I pulled out from another collection that has not been published and revised them and put them in here. Or they were poems that were published in the 90s.
Right. And the short stories that you're referring to are all, it's a memoir of sorts. It's creative fiction.
Right. It's a memoir of sorts, except that many of the stories, over half of them, are not about my husband. But because I am a military wife, I was more sensitive to hearing other people's stories. There were some that I know my husband would think would refer to him, but he actually had nothing to do with the thought process that occurred in that one.
It's just your worldview.
It's my worldview. I mean, one was triggered by two fellows standing in line with me to get on a plane returning from Honolulu to Anchorage. And one of them, you know, gave the eye look and then that very slight nod that you see that you can get from somebody in the military.
So they weren't necessarily in uniform?
They were both in uniform.
They were both in uniform.
And the other one did not even make eye contact. He had the 1,000-yard stare. So one of the poems in here is about the guy with the 1,000-yard stare. I mean, obviously, I have no idea who either one of these people is.
It's poetry. But,
yeah.
Right. That was just the muse. Do you want to talk a little bit before we hear a piece about, I read the foreword. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Or you could say no.
And no, I don't
the
mind.
The introduction?
I don't mind. I wrote it.
Okay. Oh, it's just, we could just tell people if you want to get in on this
That's
conversation,
right.
You have to buy the book.
Yes, you do.
Do you want to talk a little bit about
right.
this, the disclaimer and the introduction?
Every now and then, I mean, I'd written everything except for the disclaimer, and the book was at the publisher, and I'd already received back a proof, and I called the publisher, who actually was the editor for my first two novels in the 90s. So I called him and said, Christopher, what am I going to do? This is what Robert just said. And, I didn't call him up. I wrote him a letter. And he said, this is incredible. It needs to go in the book. And so that kind of changed everything. But it happened when I showed my husband the cover of the book. And I had put pieces on the table, the dining room table. I had laid the whole manuscript on the dining room table across these several years.
You worked on it for many years.
Yeah, right, from 2009 until 2014, and said, you know, read this. And he read a couple of them and said, I said, this is not about you. This particular poem, Comforting the Remnants of My Soldier. But it made him feel very sad because he said, I know too many people this is about. And so he didn't want to read it. And so then he's finally said, I don't want to read it. And I've accepted that. It did surprise me. And I have many friends, probably half of the people I've told, have said, oh, I understand that completely. And then I've had some soldiers or some military people say, I'm very interested in reading it. And I've had others say, oh, I understand completely. I don't want to read it.
Been there.
So, yeah, been there. Yeah, why do I need to read it?
Right.
And so, but as this one particular person, his wife said, well, I'm going to read it. And so.
It is reflections of a military
right,
life.
Right, right, right. And so, you know, my husband said, you have to put a disclaimer in there. So I thought, okay, he wants a disclaimer. I'll write a disclaimer. And that's what he called it. That's what it is. So.
Okay. All right. And how long did your husband serve?
A total of 28 years.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you for, I want to thank him for his service
well,
and your support
you.
Of that
thank
service.
Thank you. 2 years in Vietnam and, then the Gulf War. And then the other years, most of those were, almost all of those were in the reserves, but he was in the regular army, so.
And now you're happily ensconced in Gustavus.
Now we are happily ensconced in Gustavus.
And he was actually. Your book.
And he was at, we were actually living in Gustavus when he retired from the military.
Nice.
So.
Nice. Okay, so if you've just joined us, we're chatting with Abigail Calkin. Scott Burton is the engineer and producer of the show. I'm Joan Pardis. It is 27 minutes after the hour. Abigail's in from Gustavus. She's got a book signing tomorrow at Hearthside Books, starting around 4:30 probably.
Right, Hearthside Books downtown.
Downtown. And she has a new book. She has 8 books out. This is her 8th book.
Right.
And this is The Soul of My Soldier, Reflections of a Military Wife, and we're going to hear a poem from it. It's a collection of poems and short stories.
Right, right. Oh, boy. This, for me, is one of the more difficult ones to read, but it's one that I like.
She had the choice to pick.
Well, there's another one that I really like, too. Do you want one?
It's your call.
Oh, gee.
Whatever you like.
Do you want one about the Vietnam Wall, or do you want... I'm going to read the one about the Vietnam Wall. This might be a little easier.
Sounds fabulous.
This is based on my first trip to the Vietnam Wall, which was, in the mid-80s, shortly after it. I don't know when it was. It was a long time ago.
Early. Soon after it was erected.
Right. The Wall. The Wall teems with life. People walk, reflections in color. Against line after line of names, Ulysses Battle, John M. Brueker, Rodney M. Chapman, Virgil C. Combs, John P. Cook, Gerald A. Gray. I want to be alone, to respect the names of those who died, in field, en route, in hospital, in mud of Delta, in jungles of the highlands, under the hands of doctors of 28, nurses 22, and surgical techs in their teens, or surgeons who triaged on the floor in the corner while others saved someone else's son. Your name is not there, and that has made all the difference in my life. Last year, Emmanuel, a taxi driver, took me to the wall. Go, see your husband's friends. I left everything on the seat, ran past the wall, turned to blurt a cry of tears as the black granite V cut the gut of the ground, caught my eye, and punched my lungs. I tipped him all I had, $8 for a $12 fare. I'd have tipped him 50 if I'd had it. Today, my husband lives, and nameless, countless others too. I know no name on that wall, but they are husbands, fathers, brothers, sons, comrades in arms. In that black granite gut of a V also lies my husband's innocence and that of his comrades. James Carlson, Lane Clifton, James L. Hull, Paul Shear. And those last four names are people that didn't make it back. Well, they all are, but those are people right. familiar to us.
It was, yeah, it was for people you knew. That is really lovely.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing your experience in this mm-hmm. book. And it seems like there'll be another one as well.
Yes, yes, yeah.
The process must have been very interesting.
The process of all of them is very interesting, yeah. I had one come out about 3 years ago that was about a commercial fishing accident, and that was a really tough one to write, too. And I have a sequel to that one, too, so that I'm still working on, so.
Right. Well, thank you for sharing this, the book, mm-hmm. and your experience with us today. And
thank
Abigail
you.
Calkin will be at Downtown Hearthside Books tomorrow to sign this book. I'm going to ask her to sign mine now. And we're going to take a short break. It's 3:31. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be right back.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 3rd of September, 2015. It was on this day in 1947, a book was published in which a little rabbit wanders around his room, saying goodnight to his comb and his brush and his bowl full of mush. Goodnight Moon by Margaret Wise Brown. It became a bestseller and a book to read to children to put them to sleep. It's the birthday of Alison Lurie, novelist, Chicago, 1926, author of The Truth About Lauren Jones and Foreign Affairs. Alison Lurie, who said about her characters, "I want them all to have happy endings, although I do realize this is not true to life, but I get attached to my characters, and I don't really want to do them in. And I think it is significant that the only book of mine that got a big literary award, the Pulitzer Prize for Foreign Affairs, was the only one in which I've killed off a major character. Somehow tragedy attracts awards and comedy does not." It's the birthday of the man who said form follows function, the architect Louis Sullivan, Boston, 1856. It's the birthday of the anthropologist Lauren Isley, born Lincoln, Nebraska, 1907, taught anthropology for 30 years at the University of Pennsylvania, and wrote popular books about anthropology and evolution, The Immense Journey, The Unexpected Universe, and others, about the evolution of the brain and the development of consciousness in humans. He wrote, "For the first time in 4 billion years, a living creature had contemplated himself and heard with a sudden, unaccountable loneliness, the whisper of wind in the night reeds." It's the birthday of the writer Sarah Oren Jewett, born in South Berwick, Maine, 1849, best known for her collection of stories, The Country of the Pointed Furs, which was published in 1896. Stories about the people of Maine and old country ways that were quickly dying out there at the end of the 19th century. Sarah Oren Jewett, who said, "You must find your own quiet center of life and write from that." And it was on this date in 1838 Frederick Douglass boarded a train in Baltimore and escaped from slavery to go north and to campaign tirelessly for the abolition of slavery and also for women's suffrage. Here's a poem for today by Douglas Getch, "Swimming to New Zealand." Once or twice in life, you find a woman you'd swim the ocean for. What are you doing, friends will ask, as you perfect your stroke, meantime pitying everyone outside of love. Your only obstacle, the blue Pacific, where your sun sinks, she's dressing in the morning, and when the dawn comes reaching back around, turning up the volume in your city, she's drawing blinds, removing her makeup. If you were Gatsby, you would build a mansion in some cove off the Tasmanian Sea and throw parties to lure her in. You're not, of course, though nothing's impossible except life without her. And so, you swim. A poem by Douglas Getch, "Swimming to New Zealand," from his collection Nameless Boy, published by Orchises Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, you can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry App. Available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. And by Progressive Insurance, working to make progress for more than 75 years. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Support comes from the City and Borough of Juneau Aquatics Division. Monday, September 7th, Augustus Brown Pool will be closed in observance of Labor Day, but Diamond Park Aquatic Center will be hosting two special open swims. For the Labor Day open swim times and the Diamond Park Aquatic Center fall schedule, visit juneau.org/park/diamond park or call 586-2782.
Hello and welcome back. Thanks for sharing part of this beautiful day with us at Juno Afternoon. Scott Burden's the producer and engineer today. I'm Joan Pardis, your host, and it is 37 minutes past the hour. And our next guests are here to talk about Recovery Walk. We have Katie Chapman and Jeanette Hitt here. And Katie, what organization are you representing?
I'm the executive director at the National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Dependence, the Juno affiliate, also known as NCAD.
Great. And Jeanette?
I am one of the board members for NCADD.
Okay. All right. So let's talk. There's a recovery walk this Saturday at 10:30. Let's talk a little bit about it. What is it for, and what can people expect, and where should people go?
Okay. The recovery walk is part of a lot of different things that are happening in Recovery Month, and September is Recovery Month. It's sponsored by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, and one of the founders of Recovery Month is, and one of the planners, NCADD, celebrates this because it desires to increase awareness and understanding of substance abuse and mental health disorders. There's several events that are planned for Recovery Month, and one of them is the Recovery Walk, which is happening on Saturday, September 5th.
Okay. And where does it start?
Well, people are asked to wear black and white and to meet in the parking lot at the Douglas Island Breeze Inn at 10:30.
Okay.
There, though, we're going to be distributing purple balloons, and there'll be some purple umbrellas in case it is raining. There'll be a banner also over the bridge. The idea is to be visible, vocal, and valuable. Those are the four words that identify Recovery Month. And so we'll be meeting and, you know, parading over the bridge.
Okay, and ending up at Marine Park?
Yes, we'll be spending a little bit of time on the bridge just making, the message known that we're here to give awareness to mental health and substance abuse disorders.
And support people.
And to support people in recovery.
Okay. And it looks like Mayor Sanford and Representative Semkito III will be there, and ANS Grand President Frieda Westman.
Yes, that's correct. We'll all be gathering, and we'll have a moment of silence, and then we'll have an applause to celebrate the people who are successful in their recovery. And we'll be inviting people to join us because there'll be some art displayed at NCADD following the gathering, and there'll be some coffee and refreshments at that time.
And where is the NCADD office?
NCADD is at 211 4th Street and on the corner of 4th and Seward in Suite 102.
Okay. So forgive my ignorance. Is this the first time this has happened in Juneau? I hope you don't say, oh, no, we've been doing this for 20 years.
For as far as a recovery walk goes, it's the first that I'm aware of.
Recovery Month has been going on for the past 25 years.
Okay. But this is the first time that Recovery Walk meet at the Douglas Breeze Inn, where Black and White support the process and people who are in recovery.
Yes, this is one of many events that are taking place. Katie, you can talk a little bit maybe about the different things that are going on. There was a Tips for Telling Your Story recovery message training that took place on Tuesday, September 1st, to kick off Recovery Month, and the Art of Recovery, and that's also happening this Friday. First Friday is a time where people go to the different galleries and view some artwork, and we're also going to have artwork on display at NCADD.
At 211 4th.
Yes. Yes. So it'll be time for people to view artwork, and it's local artists who are sending out their message and, you know, evoking that message through their artwork.
Sounds lovely.
Yeah.
Sounds lovely. And then the walk on Saturday at 10:30.
And then the walk is going to kick off, you know, another section of this Recovery Month, Saturday, September 5th, coming right up. And so we're hoping that we all meet and get a chance to group together and send out the message of hope and help for people in Juneau.
That sounds great. So I want to talk a little bit about the presence of your organization in Juneau. So if people are listening and saying, oh, you know, I'd like to probably use some of their resources, or I want to get involved, can you tell us about some of the programs that you offer and how people could get a hold of you, and what kind of volunteer opportunities you might have?
Sure. So at NCAD, we have clinical and rehabilitative services for both youth and adults. So for people who are struggling with substance use disorders, or maybe you don't know if you are, but you suspect that you might be having a problem or someone you care about is struggling, you can call us at 463-3755 and set up an appointment, and that would be the first step to getting help. We have several education and prevention programs where we go into the schools and work with youth. One in particular is the Teens Against Tobacco Use. We go into the elementary schools and educate the elementary students about tobacco.
The lung, right?
Yes.
The black lung.
Have you seen the lung?
I've heard about the black lung. I haven't seen it, but I might have had.
Yeah.
I might have well.
So that's
impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes a statement.
Absolutely. So those are some of our programs and services. And again, calling us at 463-3755 and setting up an appointment is the first step to getting some hope and help.
And do you have a website? Is there our resources available on the website as well?
Sure. Our website has all the detail for our programs, and that is NCADDJuno.org.
You could just search for it.
Yeah.
Okay. So it is Recovery Month. Recovery Walk is this Saturday, September 5th, starting at 10:30 a.m. There will be purple balloons or purple umbrellas and or purple umbrellas, depending on the weather, which, of course, would be fantastic if it was like today, but
supposedly it won't be, wear black and white to show support of those who experience substance use mental health disorders and spread messages of recovery. It's at 10:30 at the Douglas Breeze Inn and then marching over Marine Park, over to Marine Park and then winding up at the NCAD office at 211 4th Street.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And then we talked about things that have happened. What's then the first Friday? There's art at the office as well. And what's the next thing up after the walk?
There will be an FASD Awareness Day, and we'll be putting table tents in local area restaurants to provide education to the public about the effects of FASD.
Okay. All right. Well, ladies, thank you so much for coming in today. Is there something else?
I wanted to just mention that all of these efforts and activities are organized in partnership with other agencies, and so I just want to name them
them.
So the Juno Youth Services, JAMI, Gastineau Human Services, and the Haven House.
Okay, along with NCAD.
And we do have a Recovery Fest coming up at Twin Lakes on Saturday, September 12th as well.
Okay, great. Well, thank you both for your service to our community and what you do. And if you're listening, it's Recovery Walk, Saturday, September 5th at 10:30 at the Douglas Breeze Inn. And you can find out more at the website, too. You can check it out. All right, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
I was born one morning, the rain a-pouring down. Heard my mammy say to my pappy, let's call him John Henry Brown. Walk on, boy, walk on down the road. Ain't nobody in this whole wide world gonna help you carry your load. My pappy told me some advice I'd like to give to you. Son, find a good woman, be good to her, and she's gonna be good to you. Walk on, boy, walk on down the road. Ain't nobody in this whole wide world gonna help you carry on. Mammy and Pappy, just about the age of 10. Lord, I got me a job working on the levee, doting water for the hard working men. Walk on, boys, walk on down the road. Ain't nobody in this whole wide world gonna help you carry your load. Ask you just who is that fella Brown? You can tell him I'm the boy that left his hammer smoking where he beat that old steam trail down. Walk on, boy, walk on down the road. Ain't nobody in this whole wide world gonna help you carry your load. Walk on, boy.
Bird note. Sometimes birds fall directly into our lives. Bird note listener Joseph Clark tells of discovering two barred owlets on the ground near his home in East Haddam, Connecticut. The young birds had fallen out of an ancient sugar maple and were being harassed by ravens. Clark scared off the ravens and, with the guidance of Kasha Bro of the Connecticut Audubon Center, got the young owls back up into the tree. The mother owl stayed nearby, keeping a close eye on the rescue. Once the birds were safe, Bro advised Clark to observe the owlets napping, which they do during the day. What he saw delighted him. Keeping their talons tightly gripped on a branch, the owlets lay down on their stomachs, turned their heads to the side, and fell asleep. Their naps are short, and when they are asleep, they do not like to be awakened, even to be fed. A young owl doesn't fall out of the tree while it snoozes because its back toe, the hallux, holds onto the branch. The hallux will not open or let go until the bird bends its leg. Still, before they can fly, most owlets explore and often end up on the ground, sometimes dropping right into the middle of our lives. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
Three Men and Baby Grand. Juno Jazz and Classics kicks off its 30th season Labor Day weekend with popular cellist Zool Bailey, Australian violinist Ben Breen, and pianist Awadajan Pratt, performing masterworks by Bach, Brahms, and Paganini. Three terrific musicians and a marvelous program showcasing their individual and combined artistry. Sunday, September 6th, 7 p.m. at the Jack. Tickets available at the Jack, Hearthside Books, and jazzandclassics.org.
Hello, welcome back to Juno Afternoon. It's the September 3rd edition. It's 10 to the hour. Scott Burns at the board, and we have Nancy DeCharney here to talk about Arts Up.
I'm going to try.
Go ahead. Here we go. She is ready to go. There's
well,
a lot
see,
going
there
on.
There is so much going on. It's a little scary, actually. There is, or at the Jack this afternoon at 6:30, What the Pink. There's information about breast cancer. It looks like they're really set up nicely over there, so stop in. But, of course, Friday is First Friday, and you can start the day off at the Salvation Army with fry bread tacos at 11, from 11 to 2. There's a phone number to call. They suggest that you call and make your reservation, you know, get them on order before you go toddling over there. Then it is you just come to the Jack and get your little flyer and find out all the places to go. We are kicking off our September First Friday. It is Jazz and Classics 30th anniversary. And in celebration of that, our exhibit this month is a collection of all. They found all of the posters they've ever had.
Oh, cool.
As well as a whole bunch of memorabilia. If there were T-shirts you wish you had, they've got them. So
wow.
It's a really beautiful show.
What a great timeline.
Yeah, it is really spectacular to look around the room and think of all of these musicians that have been to Juno. They set it up last night, and I was just amazed when I walked in this morning. So start with us, and then, of course, loop around and then come back, because at 7 o'clock, Richard Council will be giving tango lessons, and then there'll be a ballroom dance.
Fun.
Oh, what fun. Yeah, you'll need to be doing that. Let's see. We also have, and, of course, MK's got her most recent grit portrait. It's of Lily Hope. And that's a lovely thing, so come in for that. Let's see, what do we got? We over at Copa, Arnie Weimer's got his stuff, and I think that, you know, you need a little ice cream, right? So go over there and do that. At Annie Kale's, she's got pottery artist Joyce Payne. Seward Street, let's see, Hearthside Books also on Front Street is having a book signing.
Abigail Culkin, yeah, she was just here.
Oh, okay, so we don't need to go into that too much. See Alaska Heritage right across the street has Rhonda Butler, Renee Culp, and Selena Beerley doing work. And let's see, this list is long. GCI Downtown Store has photographer Candace Bressler. She has an exhibit that she's calling You Know Juno, A Southern Belle's Observation on Life in the Last Frontier. So it'd be nice. Stop in there. And they always have refreshments, so
yeah,
be sure to go there. The Canvas has visiting artists Tim Ortiz and Adriana Donahue. They are just up the street. There is the National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Dependence. They have their annual exhibit. It's on Seward. It's across on the corner of 4th and Seward. I can't ever remember what that address is. But
211, they were just...
Okay, very good. We don't have to talk about that. Malia McInerney. I always pronounce
Maria
her name.
McInerney.
There she is. Okay. She is coming out of retirement and doing a yoga thing at Rainforest Yoga from 5:15 to 6:15. So you're getting a little stressed by all this artwork. You should go there. Juno Artist Gallery has Chef Steph, and I do see, I see some leftovers here.
Not for long.
Not for long, yes. I just slap my hands. Kindred Post, amazingly enough, is celebrating their first anniversary.
Yay, Christy.
Yay, Christy. And so to do that, she's giving away birthday gifts, and she's got a photo booth installation by Sydney Akagi, and she's going to have Kiwi Express, and there'll be snacks and birthday cake and all sorts of stuff. So swing through there. Fairweather Gallery down on South Franklin has their end-of-season locals appreciation sale. It's always fun. And Alaska Brewing has their Labor Day sale and a taste of fall. I think they're having the pumpkin ale, white IPA, and amber. So lots of good food.
Good grief. Shopping, art,
yeah.
Birthday parties. Oh, my goodness.
And then out in the valley, where we're starting to stir up some things out there, art matters. Yes. Well, you know, there's art everywhere. And Kayla at Art Matters will have her Bonet, or at least his artwork, up. And she will be open, too, from 5 until 7.
Lovely.
So yeah, you can be doing that, and then when you get
home,
that was just Friday. Yeah.
Okay. We're getting the sign here.
Well, okay. Well, so all I can say is go to the website. September is packed. I cannot even believe how packed it is, and I've seen some months. So go to the website jahc.org. Get the calendar. Get your tickets. Othello starts, you know. Pink martinis.
All right. Pink martini. One last thing. So Who's Your Diva? Are there any seats left?
Yes, there are still some seats for Who's Your Diva, and there's still some seats on one of the whale watching things. So,
okay.
But, yeah, there's so much going on. I take your vitamins and get ready.
That's right. June is revving up for the fall.
Yeah, really.
All right. Nancy, thank you for coming in.
Yep.
All right.
Thank you.
And all you do, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the very end of Juno Afternoon, the September 3rd edition on KTOO. Scott Burden's been the producer and the engineer of the show, and he has also been Chef Steph's test taster. Is that the right word? Test taster. And it's my turn as soon as I get off the air, so it'll be great. So it was fun show. The weather is fantastic. It's sunny. It's high around 64 tonight. Increasing clouds. Lows around 42. It has been cold in the morning. Tomorrow, cloudy chance of rain during the day. Highs around 55 with light winds. And then Friday night, rain. Lows around 49. And then we're looking at showers and clouds right through the Labor Day weekend. And right now, it's 65 degrees at the Juneau Airport, 64 downtown, and 66 in the Mendenhall Valley. All right, tomorrow, tune in for Juneau Afternoon. We'll hear about the second Saturday Farmers Market, meet yet another diva for Who's Your Diva later on this month, and get the details about this year's Brewfest. Maybe the perfect thing to tune into before you go out for that first Friday that Nancy was talking about. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned. All Things Considered is up next. Thank you.
This is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. We also rebroadcast on translators K276AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K210AM in Gustavus, K220BT in Hoonah, and K210AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait.